Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. For a change of pace this pre-Thanksgiving Day, I'll ask the fast-rising radio and podcast personality some questions about TV's current and future. George Bender joins me next. Freeform gets its holiday movie mojo going with Angry Angel next Monday. Can this angel in question have a wonderful life here in our corner of the universe? We'll learn more next half hour from executive producer Richard Schwartz. And we leave you joyful, we trust, with two co-stars of Amazon Studios' next original dramedy, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, coming to smart TV sets and TV Next devices all over a week from today. Stick around next hour for Michael Deegan and Marin Hinkle. Also ahead, News Notes Quickies and our latest classic trivia winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and brought to you on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, pre-Thanksgiving Day, right here, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this day before T-Day 2017, 51 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And however you're joining us, we appreciate you being aboard for this episode of the program All About Television, third of three we're doing this Thanksgiving week. It's a fun one for you the next 90 minutes. A lot of great people along the way, and we invite you to interact with them. How? Raise your voice, pick up the phone, and dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We've also got our chat room open for business. That's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Just click on the Blog Talk Radio screen Facebook thing, and Facebook icon, I should say, while the instructions and other people can be live with you. George Bender, the proprietor of Mom and Pop Radio, joins us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, after some News Note Quickies. It's day two of CBS and CBS TV affiliates nowhere to be found on Dish Network. There's no word on whether discussion of a new CBS carriage on Dish has resumed. The blackout impacts more than 13 million Dish satellite TV customers nationwide. Revolt will serve up an original special Thanksgiving night, a.k.a. tomorrow, spotlighting Queen Latifah, Game of Channel's annual Icon Award. And great performances will get a spirit of the season going Friday night over many PBS stations with the stage version of Holiday Inn, the classic Irving Berlin film musical teaming Fred Astaire with Bing Crosby. And that is our news notes for today. And now joining me live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the proprietor of Mom and Pop Radio, George Bender. George, happy holiday season to you.
Hey, Simon, it's great to be on your show.
And thank you for the opportunity to be on yours. For those who don't know, how long has Mom and Pop Radio been broadcasting?
Well, the Mom and Pop Shop originated in 1998 as a CD, and it was sold in all the stores in New York City, Tower Records and Virgin and everywhere, Colony, you know. And what happened was when I had the opportunity to go live on the internet with a worldwide radio show, I was talking about it with my wife, and we decided we would use the CD as a template or sort of a pilot for what we wanted to do. So we expanded upon this Mom and Pop Shop idea, and now it's really amazing. I'm very impressed that the show, and I'm pleased that the people are enjoying the program and that it was covered recently by NBC and ABC Network News. And, I asked them, Simon, why are you covering this internet show when there are so many internet programs? And they said, well, yours is sort of a hybrid of yesteryear meets today, and we thought that was interesting. So there you have it. It's kind of a fun show.
And how does yesteryear and today collide?
Well, I guess because most of my training and my mentorship was with Soupy Sales and Joe Franklin and people who literally taught me everything about the industry, and I wound up doing a lot of the, you know, the TV commercials, and I was the voice of the red M&M at some time, and I did my burger commercials, and I did that whole vast array of many, many things that you can do on the radio and TV, and that's the past, and the past meets the present, where those mentors, people like Soupy and Joe are no longer around. And I feel like I still have some of that, and I'm trying to bring it into the present.
And, George, the thing that unites both of them, Joe Franklin and Soupy Sales, that both of them were able to make live television work. It was so unpredictable, whether it was Joe Franklin with you never knew what kind of guest he would have on his program, and in the case of Soupy Sales, you knew that every day kids were looking forward to everything from Soupy Says to Do the Mouse to Follow Kvetch, to a famous celebrity like Frank Sinatra showing up when you least expected it.
Absolutely. You know them both very well. And I love your vitality and your wonderful energy. You're really amazing, and you certainly know your television and your media, and you're quite fascinating.
Well, thank you very much. I grew up with those people, in the 60s, and the 60s was an amazing time, particularly in local television here in New York, and also in other cities around the country where you had personalities like a Soupy Sales or Fred Ladd or Fred Scott or
Chuck McCann,
live TV.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
Yeah, so many wonderful. It was a whole different way of doing television because it was live, so you had to watch what you said. And you also had to be able to do what you're doing now, which is to be a personality on the air without retakes. That's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing
and
like being live. There's nothing like being on that tightrope where you get one.
And you know what's funny?
You know what's
changed, Simon? And I'm sure you noticed this. Back in those days, those people who were live broadcasters were not uncomfortable about being live. Today, there's less live, and they get more fidgety and there were more mistakes than there were back then because they had no choice. That's how they were trained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
although,
I find that to be very interesting. And on our show, The Mom and Pop Shop, we've been able to have some guests that I'm just so pleased. You know, we had Lily Tomlin and Susie Quattro and Robert Morse from Broadway and so many great people. I'm very pleased that they enjoy the show, and I'm enjoying your show. In fact, since it is the day before the day before Thanksgiving, I wanted to do a couple of special impersonations. You tell me when, but I'll do it for your audience because I'm going to include a little promo for your show in that.
Ah, thank you. Well, we'll do that later on. By the way, guest 701 has just joined our chat room, SimonApple04Rain. If you have a question or comment for George, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. So what do you think about TV these days? What do you like about TV? What do you like about the medium? What do you think could be much improved?
I think that it would be a great improvement if we brought back some sort of unique family entertainment. Then I mean, where everybody in the house can actually sit together and watch something, like when Sullivan was on, you know, or Carol Burnett, or you know what I'm saying, a variety style format that would be affordable. Because we had Tony Tennille on my show, and I said, Tony, how come all the shows that were variety disappeared within a span of 2 years back in the late 70s, early 80s. He said they're just too expensive. You could never make them today.
Mm-hmm. Although, have you seen Let's Make a Deal on CBS at 10 o'clock? Most
yes.
Around the country.
Oh, yes. Yeah. See, you know, there are some shows that are very, very good. But we used to have a flood, a plethora, as they say, of shows. Remember?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm mentioning Let's Make a Deal because what Wayne Brady and his folks have done has turned that classic Monty Hall game show into, on some days, it is a variety show. You get these contestants, like one was on today, who was doing a disco dance before playing the game, or another one who was doing tap.
Yeah. He's amazing. I think Wayne Brady is amazing. He's somebody who, if, you know, when you think about the triple threat, the person who can do comedy and impersonations and sing and dance, he's really, really very talented.
Yeah, and it really has, and now he's the co-executive producer of Deal, and he's really, over the 9 years that he's been on CBS, has really converted without losing the essence of the game and what Monty Hall did with his partner Stephen Hayes for so many years. He's just added on this layer with Jonathan Magnum, his partner, who's also the announcer, Tiffany Coyne, the model, into this sort of unit where anything can break loose, anything can be fun, and it really is a variety show that people can enjoy. In fact, today was a Thanksgiving Day episode where they had, like, cash in a turkey or cash in a pumpkin pie. It's just plain fun.
Yeah. You have a lot of that energy. I hear that, Monty Hall. You must have loved Monty Hall because I hear that in you. He was really a sensation. I mean, he was like a song and dance guy. He was like a real personality hosting a game show, you know.
And he was a great game show producer. We did a little tribute to him on a recent episode, and I wish I could have met him and interviewed him, because I grew up on a show called Video Village, which was a wonderful show on CBS for several years that he was not the original MC on, but took it over beautifully. It was done first in New York, then Los Angeles. And also, he created some other game shows, including a show called Split Second, which I still think is the best, most underrated quiz game ever conceived. And I'd love to see that. I would love to see the Video Village and or Split Second come back. George Bloomberg is our guest for half hour on Tamabi Televised. He's the person behind Mom and Pop Shop Radio, which you can catch in all sorts of ways. We'll tell you how a little bit later on. And he's got some impressions. We'll also ask him shortly, what do you think about Thanksgiving television? What do you like to see? We'll sort of put opinions in on it. We're delighted to have you with us on Tamabi Televised. Happy pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday to you and all. Third of three shows we're doing on this week. And if you have a question or comment, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, DiamondApple04 by name. We're back on our regular Monday-Friday schedule next week, and coming up on Monday, among our guests, we'll have the executive producer of the new Oprah Winfrey Network series, Check In. It's about an inn that is unlike any other, not just for where it is, but for what it does. Dave Packman, the executive producer of Checked In, will join us as our lead guest. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your favorite TV show right now? Before you get to Thanksgiving specifically, what's your favorite TV show right now?
My favorite TV show right now is anything to do with comedy. I'm just a lover of things that make you laugh. There's so much political and religious things going on in the media. I try to gear towards something that's joyful, something that's funny. And there are many shows. There are many shows that I catch occasionally. Because of the hectic radio schedule, I am on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. And it does take a lot of time to put together each show, so I don't get to watch a whole lot. But I do tend to love the comedy shows, you know, Saturday Night Live and any comedy of Andy Cohen show, any show that has some funny humor in it, and especially if it's live. I love that.
Among the people that you've had on your show, who's your favorite guest, let's say, the last couple of weeks on your show?
I would say Lily Tomlin. She surprised me because she was receiving the Kennedy Center honor, and that was seen by million on CBS, and the next day she was on the Mom and Pop Shop. And, you know, she's just a great friend. And Sonny Rollins is a great guest. He's a wonderful icon of jazz. So many, they're all favorites in their own way. We just have Loretta Swit. Now, Loretta Swit spoke a lot about things that she's involved in helping animals. She's a big animal activist. So, you know, I have a lot of favorite guests, and each one, I guess, in their own way.
Mm-hmm. So here we are, Thanksgiving time, and, you know, when people think of Thanksgiving television, there are a few things that come to mind: parades, football, that's both college and pro.
The March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Basketball tournaments. And now we're starting to see more networks do original specials. We had on our show yesterday the folks at Brigham University Television, which for the second year in a row is doing the original made-for-TV movie. It looks like a good one called Instrument of War, about the true story of a World War II prisoner of war who uses a violin that he crafts out of wood on a bunk bed to play and ultimately keep him sane. Do you have like a TV pattern when it comes to Thanksgiving?
You know, I always go back to my childhood days when I think of Thanksgiving. I think of the winters in New York City. I think of the March of the Wooden Soldiers, also known as Babes in Toyland with Laurel and Hardy. The Marx Brothers following it probably in Horse Feathers. And I just love the lineup that I grew up watching on these holidays. It always reminds me of those special movies that were broadcast in those days. Even though they had commercials, I still love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, March of the Wooden Soldiers, Babes in Toyland was on Channel 11, WPIX. And I hunch that they will bring that back sometime in the course of tomorrow.
I hope so. You know, when I was a kid, I used to watch it, and then years later I saw it, and I said, wait a minute, there's something missing. And I was watching this, and I said, there's something, and they cut something, and then I realized there was a scene in Bogeyland where Tom-Tom and Bo Peep, you know, they fall asleep, and a Sandman comes, and there's a whole song mm-hmm. about go to sleep, and it was missing. And I said, that's the thing that's missing.
I think the version of Channel 11 now does have that scene. They have not cut that.
I hope so.
I know there's another scene where the Tom-Tom does sing like we're traveling to Spain, which I think for many years was cut out of the version.
Yes, when he's he takes the big shoelace at the window of the old Mother Shoe, you know, where Bo Peep lives, and he plays it like a mandolin, and he sings "We'll Live in a Castle in Spain." That's Felix Knight, who plays Tom-Tom. He was brilliant. Not only was he a great operatic singer, but he was a teacher in New York City. He taught music.
Whoa! Never knew that.
Yeah. That's what kind of freaked my wife out, because at that time she was working at the Metropolitan Opera and she was doing chorus work and super work. And I said, do you know you've been taking lessons and this man was in town at that time?
I liked Henry Brandon, the guy that played Barnaby.
Oh, he was great. Do you know that when he played Barnaby, do you know that Hal Roach saw him in a play and said, I want that guy? And he was 23 years old. The guy playing Barnaby, Henry Brandon, was 23. And his name, if you look carefully at the original credits, is Henry Kleinbach, and later changed to Henry Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Really amazing how this 23-year-old could be in a movie in the 1930s and like become this incredible
and look like an old man. And he was great.
Yeah. You plan to watch the Macy's Parade either on CBS or NBC tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. I would never miss it. Like I was saying, I love any live TV, and I love the music and all the entertainment that they offer. It's really something that's very special for this time of year. I think everybody should watch that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. It's always fun. It's a perennial. NBC, I think, does a very good job covering it. CBS, maybe less so. I want to bring up two things with you. Two things I would love to see with parades. CBS,
yes.
Back in the 60s and 70s, used to have what was called the All-American Thanksgiving Parade. And it was
right.
Not just covering New York. They would have segments live from Philadelphia and from Detroit and a taped segment from Toronto. And a taped segment from Y with Jack Lord of Y5O. And it was wonderful because you were able to see the whole scope of parades, and each one of them had their own flavor. And for some reason, I don't know when it was in the 80s or 90s or whatever, CBS, some management at CBS said, no, let's just cover Macy's, without saying it's Macy's. And
right.
I just would bring that concept back. Because
you're right, you're right. You know,
CBS
I didn't think of that, but you're absolutely right. When they used to cut away via the coaxial cable, you know, and they would say, we're now going to go to Philly, that's priceless. They should, and they have the ability today to do that.
Yeah. And then you have parades. I'm sure that New Orleans has a parade, Nashville has a parade, Chicago has a parade, St. Louis, San Francisco, Los Angeles, et cetera. Why not do that? You have the time.
I know. I agree with you. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. I don't know why they don't. It could be that years ago when they had the major network parade, it was the one that jumped from city to city, because maybe at that time those cities weren't geared up to be able to televise everything. But who knows? I mean, I would love to see that happen again.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other thing about parade. This is the Macy's Parade. Yes. I love the parade. Bill Bracken, who's the executive producer for the last decade or so, he was on the show several years ago. He's marvelous. Gary Howell, the director, does a great job. But there's one thing about the parade that I cannot understand. With all the technology we have these days, particularly with audio, with sound, with on location, and especially when we've seen, for example, live musical theater productions like Grease Live last year, freely done by Alison because the Essence Stars Band, where you had Jesse J singing in and out live of the title song on that Warner Brothers lot. Why are performers still lip syncing? Especially in that 9 o'clock early hour, where it's all Broadway musicals in front of Herald Square and 7th Avenue and 34th Street. Why, with everything we got, can't we have performers singing live?
That is a brilliant question, and I'm only going to guess that one of two reasons. One could be it's a financial thing. It could possibly be that if they have the live star and the live star sings in that weather, you know, pumping it out, throwing out the full-throated singing, they may want a certain amount of money that's beyond what they want to give them, only because they've got to go back on Broadway or whatever the next day. It could be that, or it could be something to do with the rights to the music. I have no idea, but we do have the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. It would be great. They certainly should be performing live. But for some reason, I don't know. I don't know why they do. That's a very, very interesting topic. I never thought of that, but that's amazing, you know. When you think about it, the amount of things that can be done on live TV right now is just incredible, and yet it's not. So, you know, you have the right venue here to discuss this on this type program, because that's where we're headed. We're headed in a direction where everything's going to be televised one day.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, you have wonderful Broadway performers. The camera doesn't lie. When the viewer sees people lip-syncing and lip-syncing bad, when they're not without a sync, they'd be out of sync very easy, you know.
Yeah.
It looks awful.
I know exactly what you're saying. It kind of brings it down. Like, if you had a performer back in the day, you know, like a Sinatra, Jolson, these people, they'd be singing live. They wouldn't want to hear anything about singing to a record.
Yeah. By the way, George, my favorite moment in that 9, 10 o'clock hour, I think sometimes can be really magical, was when Pat Sajak was the host from Wheel of Fortune, and Don Quayle, Sandy Duncan's husband, did Singing in the Rain in the Rain. It was as magical a moment as you could get. Live, dancing
that was
and singing
great.
In the rain.
It was well covered, and you know, years ago, this is a true story. Sonny Gale, who was a very popular singer in the early 50s, she had a song called "The Wheel of Fortune," which later Kay Starr made a very big success out of. But it was originally Sonny Gale's song, and she told me a story one time when I met her through Joe Franklin that she was sitting in Vegas. A long time ago, with Merv Griffin, who was a producer, of course. And he was looking for a title for a new game show, and she said, "Why don't you use my song, The Wheel of Fortune?" And this is what I was told of how he was sparked by that title.
That's amazing. So you want to let folks know that if you want to see the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, it is live from 9 to noon on both NBC and CBS. You will see it on CBS referred to as the Thanksgiving Day Parade because Macy's gives NBC the annual rights, which I understand they've been recently extended. There's also, by the way, the Detroit Parade. I believe there's a syndicated hour on stations around the country. And also the Chicago Parade, which I believe may be sponsored by McDonald's. It is being carried tomorrow morning on WGN America. So it'll be carried around the country for the first time in several years. The last couple of years it was on WGN, the local station in Chicago, not nationally, because of WGN's focus as a national cable network at the time. But change of heart there so that you can see that there. And I really do hope that somebody does an All-American thing soon. There's so many places where I'm sure parades could get wonderful exposure. One nice thing, though, about the New York Parade, thank God, no Elf song. No song from that musical Elf. A couple of years ago, my pick for the worst parade moment was the title of a song which had this lyric, "It's the story of Buddy, the Elf, it's the story of Buddy." And they would sing that lyric over and over and over and over and over again. And I was like thinking inside, get off the stream, you know. Thank God. That music going nowhere. Meanwhile, though, some of the best pieces are on the show tomorrow, so do pick it up. But that Buddy the Elf song is just terrible. Oh, amazing. Did you ever hear that song from Elf the Musical?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Being kind of jaded, loving the music of the golden age, and the, you know, I when I hear a song like that, I don't always get it. I guess some people do, but I don't know. I just love the classics, and I love the American Songbook, and, you know, I feel like I'm a little spoiled, but that's because, like I said, you know, I grew up with those people who played those things on their shows, and it really gave me a great education.
George Bringer is with us for a few more minutes here this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. You can catch his program online and much about what he does at momandpopshopradio.com. It's momandpopshopradio.com. And we still have maybe a time for a little question or two. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, Rick Webb from Philadelphia's Inn. Yes, definitely one also as well, too. Okay, we got time for two impressions, George. So give us the first one. Let it rip.
Okay, this was done just for you.
Well, I want to thank everyone for being here for Thanksgiving. Confound it, George. Never mind the hogwash. Pass the gravy. Yes, Mr. Potter. Say, Ollie. What is it, Stanley? Would you mind passing me some mashed potatoes? I certainly will. Hey, boss, you got the same thing I got. You got the yams. Well, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. What about the U-Hopple? Say, he's got a horn of plenty. Oh, greetings and salutations. Yes, indeed, my little chickadees. Oh, Mr. Fields, I'm glad you made it. I had to come from four other parties, yes. Oh, you must be full by now. Never mind the turkey. Pass me a martini.
Hello, Rick and Georgie. I'm here. I want to have a nice Thanksgiving.
Jerry, it's great to see you. Well, be careful over there, Jerry.
Oi, Ray, I busted the whole schrader.
And also the basic tea. I've never seen a turkey like this. It's so delicious. It's so fantastic. It's so amazing. It's good.
This is George Burns, and I want to say that I've never seen a gravy boat like that before.
Oh, the last boat you saw was the Mayflower.
That's a funny, boss.
Would you like to go to an auction?
Hey, I come from Italy on the Atlantic auction.
You know, this is the best Thanksgiving dinner, you see, I've ever had.
Well, you didn't pay for any of this, Mr. Benny.
Oh, shut up.
Keep it quiet at the table, boys. We're eating.
Mr. Cantor,
are you going to get up and sing, like, and clap your hands and do If You Knew Susie?
No, right now I'm going to eat a piece of turkey. I'm going to have some mashed potatoes and gravy. Why don't you sing, George?
I don't sing.
Thank goodness he doesn't sing.
And I want to say, over the airwaves, as we're broadcasting worldwide, listening to Simon Applebaum's wonderful blog talk radio show, a very, very wonderful Thanksgiving. Oh,
there you go. That was made
there
you for
go. You. There you go. Greatest Comedy Masters in a few minutes. Unbelievable. Way to go, George. That's so fantastic.
But I hope that, if you like, I'll try to... Georgia Jessel and Simon Applebaum together are going to make a new team and change vaudeville history.
And I have an idea for a classic trivia question because I remember the TV show that George Jessel did. So don't tell him. I'll tell you what. We'll use that maybe as a classic trivia question coming up before the year is
okay.
Out. Anyway, if you want to see and hear more of a really wonderful talent that's now popping up all over the country and the world, here's where you go online. It's momandpopshopradio.com, momandpopshopradio.com. The program runs at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1 p.m. on the West Coast, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So George's ready to drop on out of here and get his Friday show going. George, thank you so
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. I'm getting ready to go on the air, but your show is tremendous. It's wonderful. Your knowledge is incredible. You're like a walking encyclopedia, so I appreciate being on, and I hope you have me back.
Absolutely. You can count on it. George, to you and your listeners, have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend ahead. Thank you much for making the time. It's been a super pleasure.
Thank you, Simon. Take care.
Take care.
You too. George Benger joining us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. What a super talent. Once again, it's Mom and Pop CrackerShootyRadio.com. When we come back, our Cracker Shooty question of the week. But first, we're going to Los Angeles, and we're speaking with the executive producer of a new Freeform movie about an angry angel. We'll get to that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for OPN Radio. Check it out tonight, 9 10 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best feature available 24/7 at youtube.com. And we're also part of the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. To check the podcast network out, go to www.iHeartRadio.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Televised, night edition on this pre-Thanksgiving Day 2017. Simon Applebaum, we're live from New Web in New York. Good to have you with us. 51 degrees at the top of the hour. More great guests coming your way over this 60 minutes ahead. And we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is just you calling 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is still in the room. Freeform is getting into the business of holiday original movie making this Monday night with a program called Angry Angel. Now, if you remember the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, it was about Jimmy Stewart playing someone who was beset by life's all sorts of conundrums and problems, and it turned out an angel, to get his wings, helped him steer toward a better life. Well, you can think about this as It's a Wonderful Life in reverse, where we're talking about an angel played by the wonderful actress Brenda Song. You may remember from all the Disney Channel shows she did, and more recently the CBS series Pure Genius, which she co-starred, where she played an angel who's having some issues landing here on Earth. Joining us live from Los Angeles, executive producer Richard Schwartz. Richard, happy holiday season to you. Welcome in. And Richard, are you there?
I am here. Sorry about that, Simon. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much, and the same to you and your crew and your family as well. Why did you decide to do this film? There's so many holiday movies you probably could pick from. They're all over the place. This is Freeform's first as Freeform. I think they did some when they were ABC Family. What had you decide to be part of this one?
You know, I think it's a great hallowed tradition of, you know, of television, the sort of holiday movie. But as you look at it, you know, a lot of them have the sort of same, especially on TV. I mean, of course, there's great features we've seen over the years, but, you know, a lot of them sort of go for a real sort of maudlin, soft take on that. And it's weird. It's like all of a sudden people have this sort of cutting sense of humor and taste in comedy. And then, you know, the day after Thanksgiving until Christmas, you know, there's no room for that. And everything is super earnest. And for us, the opportunity to do something sort of with the trademark humor of my partner, Will Gluck, and our company, that still gets you to that place where there's sort of, you know, a sweet emotional message, but that leads with almost, you know, an anti-sentimentality, was kind of exciting for us to sort of take your expectation of what a Christmas TV movie might be and turn it on its head and work with the, you know, some of the comedic actors we're talking about and approach it from a way where it's you know, it's really unexpected. You know, I think people will appreciate that sort of distinction in the storytelling. But it actually goes back even further than that, because this has been an exciting opportunity for me, because when you work in television development, most of your time and efforts are spent on projects that will never see the light of day, that will never even end up in front of the cameras. And this project actually has its origin in a pilot pitch that we sold to the ABC network 6.5 years ago, that, you know, like many projects, they bought it as a pitch, they commissioned a script, we had a great experience developing it, and it sort of ended there. For whatever reason, it wasn't among the projects that they chose to be shot that year and then set up in series. And sort of, the, you know, that sort of origin story of this thing that comes back around is one of the executives who had heard this pitch initially, well, those years ago, and had read the script and liked it, ended up at ABC Family when they rebranded this Freeform and kind of remembered this project fondly. And as they were sort of looking to make their first, you know, Christmas original movie under the Freeform banner, you know, sort of called me up about this. And together we sort of strategized a way to turn sort of a dead half-hour pilot into a very much alive 2-hour movie. And so for that experience as well. It was really exciting. And obviously, Christmas wasn't always baked into it, but it was a story of an angel, and it had all of these ingredients that we've seen in so many holiday movies. And so that combined with that sensibility I was talking about, set in a, you know, New York Christmas time in the two-hour form, you know, was really exciting for all of us. And we're thrilled with how it turned out and excited for viewers to see it next week.
Was for you and Will, was It's a Wonderful Life in reverse somewhere in your minds about the approach to the film?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make a holiday movie that has, you know, this sort of fantastic quality and angels without even subconsciously summoning It's a Wonderful Life. But I would say it's broader than that. It, you know, was also movies like Heaven Can Wait and Defending Your Life and things that played with the sort of angel narrative. But even more than that, I think it was like, you know, when you're watching the local news and they do those stories at 11:28 or 11:33 now, whatever it is, those sort of soft human interest stories, and someone turns around and says, what a miracle, whatever. It's like a dog that dials 911 and saves its owner, or some other thing that sort of happens. And we were kind of playing with the notion that, what if these weren't miracles? What if there was someone behind all of that, a human being who had to sort of painstakingly do all these things and put all these things together, so and then get no credit, so that it looked like a miracle? But the fun of seeing the sort of hilariously mundane task of having to, behind the scenes, participate in these sort of things, you know, that, and what is faith today, and how do we think about things combined with the juxtaposition of just the most grounded take on this world? And so I think sort of real life, and as you'll see in the movie, we sort of reference, you know, in part a real life event with a plane landing on the river, you know, some 9 years ago, and how that was seen as a miracle. And again, like with that jumping off point of if a human being, in this case, our lead character played by Brenda Song, actually had to sort of pull that off, you know, how much fun would that be to see, and sort of all the comedy that opens up.
For people who have seen Brenda for years on the Disney Channel, where she played this sort of not-with-it, klutzy, sort of off-kilter character who you always felt was like, what role is she on? This is going to be a revelation because in recent years she's really tried to broaden her career, broaden her cast of characters, if you will. And this seems like right up her alley because she plays comedy very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that got us most excited about Brenda is, yeah, she knows where the comedy is at. Obviously, you know, coming up in the world of Disney and multi-camera sitcom, like she's a pro with jokes and with humor, but in seeing her work over the last few years on shows, and, you know, she had a really memorable role in The Social Network a few years ago, you know, we knew that she could bring the drama to it as well, and I think that was one of the things we were most excited about. We thought she could do it, but when we saw it, we were blown away by the depth of emotion in this role. And also, this is a character who's sort of begrudgingly still stuck on Earth and doing good, but almost it's an inconvenience to her. And in the hands of many other actresses, I think it would have been tricky. But she's, even when she's, you know, being a little sardonic, she's so darn likable that she really brings the whole package. We're really lucky to get Brenda, and she's got a huge fan base, you know, that I think hopefully will turn out for this show. But, you know, she was a joy to work with, and, you know, she had so many personal connections to this story, and she's a spiritual person as well, but appreciated the sort of sensibility of it. You know, she really the most important role in the show. I mean, the title role, and it sort of is made or broken by, you know, who we had cast in that role. So, you know, we were thrilled when she said yes to us, you know, as was Freeform. And, you know, I'd love to find the opportunity to work with her again.
Mm-hmm. Bridget Schwartz is one of the executive producers of Angry Angel. It's the first original movie under the Freeform banner, and it kicks off Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on that network, formerly known as ABC Family. Bridget's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised on this pre-Thanksgiving Day, 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard, 90-day edition. Third of three shows we're doing this week, and we invite you to be part of the program. So pick up that phone, use this number, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. And coming up for our next half hour, we'll have two of the co-stars of the next new series from Amazon Studios, Amazon Prime Video, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Entertainment Weekly just came in with review, A-. We will have live two of the co-stars, one from New York and one from Los Angeles. One, Michael Zagan, plays Mrs. Maisel's husband. The other, Marion Hinkle, plays the mother. And they'll be with us from New York and LA, respectively. That's next half hour right here, exclusively, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Richard, the show is set in New York. Did you shoot in New York?
We shot it in Toronto. I wish we could say we shot it in New York, but the practical realities of production sometimes demand shooting things out of state. But I do love New York, and I spent a wonderful year there a few seasons back shooting the Michael J. Fox show. So I have a real deep appreciation for New York, and Will Gluck is from New York, and it was important to us that this feels authentic New York. And so, you know, as much as we could, we brought in people who knew New York. We you know, used production design to make it feel like New York. You know, VFX, and, you know, if we make more of these, I'd love to be doing it in New York City.
And, in fact, some of your talent, both on and off camera, I've been involved with shows produced here in New York. For example, your co-star, Jason Biggs, is from Orange is the New Black, which is shot here in New York. And your writer, David Ireson, does a little thing called Mr. Robot, which is having a sensational season on USA.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of New York DNA in this show. Yeah, we were really thrilled to get Jason Biggs, and he plays a version of himself in the show, and boy, was he game for this thing. And I think the moments when Jason's on screen with Brenda are some of our best. And yeah, you mentioned David Iserson as well, who has one of the more impressive resumes of a young writer in Hollywood. I mean, Mr. Robot, yes, but also, you know, he's been on the staffs of Mad Men and The New Girl and Saturday Night Live. And, I mean, it's just, I'm always attracted to those writers who have a versatility, and that really worked for the show, you know, who can write drama and story, but also, you know, have the comedy there. And so, yeah, happy to hire, you know, New Yorkers and brought to it a real, I think, sense of New York to the show. And I think the best compliment is a couple people, you know, have seen it, and they identified the buildings in New York that we shot at. And I had to tell them, no, that's actually Toronto, but it's a pretty good version of it.
Yes, if you're going to have a stand-in city, which is a great city on its own, by the way, I've been there a number of times. Toronto is the city.
We had a lot of Canadian, just almost by accident, but we love them. You know, our director Jamie Travis hails from Toronto and Vancouver. Andrew Batchelor, who's terrific as the Angel Leonard, who's also known by his internet handle King Batch, originally from Toronto. Ricky Mabee, the co-star, who's also you know, starred in the show Preacher, is from Montreal, and so it was sort of a, you know, New York, Canada, Los Angeles sort of nexus, and a terrific group of actors and a great crew.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the story, and with you and Will, of course, is known for a wonderful independent movie called Easy A, which really broke out at a time when independent films in the last couple of years, have broken out and become major hits, from Easy A to Moonlight and so on. The approach all along, because as you said, you had to sort of take the essence of what was going to be a TV pilot or a TV series and bring it in and stretch it out into a made-for-TV movie of 90 minutes, 2 hours in length. So how did you and Will do that?
You know, we started with the pilot because you know, like any good pilot, it sort of sets a lot of story in motion and possibility for what can happen in series. And we sort of viewed that, if you look at a three-act film structure, we kind of viewed that as the first act of a three-act film. And then when we got together with David Iserson, we talked about, you know, how some of those complications that might have played out over a 22-episode or more, you know, season could play out in a dynamic way, you know, in a 1 hour. So you know, just to tell you briefly, you know, Brenda plays a character who, you know, dies, and as you described earlier, is you know, does not yet get to heaven. Her sort of angel trainer, played by Jason Biggs, or advisor, you know, introduces her to the concept that you have to do a certain amount of good works, you know, to get up there. But in the modern age, good works are, like I said, these sort of large and small things that we might call miracles, but they actually can be done by people. From the smallest degree could be standing in a parking space on a rainy day so that a mom with a sick kid could get a close space up to the pediatrician's office. And on the largest scale, it could be preventing a disaster. The way you find out about these miracles are you get an app on your smartphone, and it gives you a heads up when these things are going to happen, and you rush to it, and you try to sort of get the miracle done, and then you get an amount of points that sort of works toward your total, almost like getting mileage, you know, frequent flyer miles in a way. And so we see, you know, in the first part of the movie, we see this character sort of struggling to get there and taking all these small miracles and not being that great at it, but she's getting closer and closer. And not to spoil too much, but she finally does get to the point where she thinks she's going to get back up to heaven. And that's when a complication from her previous life sort of enters in the form of somebody that she had a very close relationship before. And she's not supposed to get involved. She can't reveal herself, but it's tough to resist. And so that begins this really sort of interesting, complicated romantic triangle that sort of takes us from the first act into the back half of the movie. So there's a lot of romance and intrigue and comedy, but some real emotion in this thing too. And you know, it really has the DNA of you mentioned Easy A and some of those movies, because it's got sort of that whip smart dialogue and just a lot of levity in the course of this thing.
Yesterday we had the acclaimed popular author David Baldacci on, and on Saturday night, one of his best-selling novels, The Christmas Train, becomes a Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation. And we talked about what it took for that book to be adapted. He didn't do the adaptation, a husband and wife team did. But the fact that he worked with them and he was able to sort of really put his stamp on this really got him excited about what he could do in television. Because he brought some suspense from the spy novels, espionage novels that he could do, to that particular show to make it distinctive. With a plot like this, what do you do to make it distinctive? How do you work with whoever does the music, the cinematography, the actors themselves? What do you try to do to, you know, in charge to make the show as distinctive as possible that we really want to watch and really care about these characters?
You know, I give a lot of credit to our director, Jamie Travis, because we all approach this as almost an independent film in a way. We're so grateful for Freeform to, you know, give us this platform. And they supported us on this approach of, let's not be held back by what people think a movie for television should be. And let's approach this, you know, as if we were, you know, shooting it to play in theaters. And we want people to come to, you know, Freeform and watch it and say, when, you know, Freeform's 25 Days of Christmas, which is this amazing Christmas campaign that they do, and they play like all your favorite Christmas movies from Elf to Home Alone, and so on and so forth. And we wanted people to come to this and for it to feel as cinematic as those movies do, and not for it to be in another category about a television movie or otherwise. And so every element we approached, from the music, and, you know, we have some, you know, terrific sort of, again, it doesn't feel soft or maudlin. It doesn't feel like Christmas songs you've heard. It's you know, contemporary covers of Christmas song. In fact, the very first song you hear is Candy Cane Lane from Sia, which is off her new Christmas album that's coming out. Not that Sia needs any promotion, but, you know, it's like it's establishing that sound. It's establishing the tone right off the bat, the sensibility of we're on this airplane that's probably going to end up in the water and people are freaking out. And it's played real. It's not played as spoofy or soft or tragic. And we have this character in Brenda who's sort of enjoying it in a sort of darkly funny way because she knows she's going to save this thing and get the points she needs, she thinks, to go back up to heaven. You know, and so it's in the writing, it's in the music, it's in the look of it. You know, the look that Jamie and our DP, Eric Caleb, brought to it, you know, that's very cinematic. You know, we spent a lot of time on that in the production design. And so not to denigrate any other, you know, Christmas movies that are shot, but I think for us, sort of throwing out the words Christmas and TV movie and all of that and approaching it, you know, as a feature, just like any of the other features that we do at our company, you know, was really set the tone for us and I think for everybody in the crew of, like, this is what we're making here. And, you know, as a result, I think it stands up to, you know, at least in quality and caliber and in look to some of the other things it's going to be played adjacently to on the Freeform schedule.
Mm-hmm. Angry Angel comes your way next Monday night on Freeform. It is the channel's first original holiday film, and it comes on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Richard Schwartz is one of the executive producers of the film with Will Gluck. You may remember him from Easy A and other wonderful features, both independent and studio. And Richard joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, pre-Thanksgiving 2017 edition from Los Angeles. Simon Applebaum here with you on the other coast in Webber York, 51 degrees at the top of the hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a call from you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name. Coming on our program Monday, we will have Dave Kaplan. He is the executive producer of Check In. It's the brand new series on Oprah Winfrey Network, started a week or so ago. And it's about an inn unlike any other, not just for where it is, but what it does. Check In on OWN, and we will have Mr. Kaplan with us. That's next Monday, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And given, Richard, that this all started as a pilot for a television series, has doing this film given you and Will any suggestions that maybe, just maybe, let's approach Freeform or somebody with doing this as a series?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said it didn't cross my mind a few times. I do, seeing it sort of on its feet and the fun of it and the tone of this thing, yeah, absolutely, you know, if people wanted more of it, I think we'd all be excited to make more of the show. And in a way, you know, this is a tone that I feel like people would welcome, you know, weekly on television. You know, it confronts real life, but it also has sort of an escapist, you know, almost, I dare say, Capra-esque, you know, element to it. And, you know, we always look at everything as an opportunity. Right now, this is a two-hour Christmas movie, but who knows what miracles might be in store for us in the future.
Well, in the meantime, as that gets pondered, what are you and Will either together or separately working on down the road where it comes to television?
Yeah, on the television side, I'm really excited to let you know about our next television production that's going to be airing December 10th, a Sunday night on ABC, immediately following Frozen, which is our new show, the first installment of our new series called Encore, which is we've produced and is presented by Kristen Bell, the actress who, of course, is one of the key voices in Frozen and Good Place and Veronica Mars. And together with Kristen, we are reuniting former high school classmates who were castmates in their high school musical and bringing them back to their hometown decades later to reunite and perform that same old musical on their old high school stage with each other. And it's a really wonderful show, and it's musical, and it's funny, and it's emotional, and, you know, we've had a great response to it since it was announced, you know, last week, and, you know, it's if you love musicals, you'll love it, but even if you don't, it's a really great opportunity to almost reflect on your own life and where you've come since high school and who you were since then, And I think that's what we're most proud of with this show. You know, it's the first unscripted show we've done, but it really does fit with our brand in terms of, you know, humanity and comedy. And so, you know, we are soliciting submissions for other former high school casts who want to get together, you know, with the expectation that we'll be making even more of these for ABC. So I think it's a show you'd really dig, Simon, understanding your sort of love for, you know, for the stage. And, you know, it's you've never seen an insurance salesman and a flight attendant and a stay-at-home mom tackle Sondheim's Into the Woods quite like this before. So check it out.
I will, and I would love to have you and your fellow producers on that show back with us to talk about it. Let's make that a date with whoever at ABC or whoever the project we need to deal with. We would love to have Zach to talk about it. I mean, everyone knows, everybody, one way or the other, was involved in high school or college in a musical. And so it has a universal, I think, likability factor. And it's going to be fun to see how people respond to that. So let's make that date to have it happen. So folks out there, you may hear Mr. Schwartz a little later on in December talking about that series. But in the meantime, Angry Angel, the first original movie from Freeform, premieres Monday night, 9 to 8 Pacific time, with a wonderful cast led by Brenda Song. And if you've never seen Brenda, by the way, do her thing. She's really wonderful to catch. I think you're going to love her performance very, very well. Again, that's Freeform, Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Check the levels for where the network's available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the film, here's where you go online, freeform.go.com. That's freeform.go.com. Executive producer Richard Schwartz, thank you so much for joining us. You and everybody have a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and let's have you back soon to talk about Encore. Looking forward to seeing that happen on ABC. It's been a pleasure to have you with us all the way.
Thank you so much, Simon, and appreciate your support for the show. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, the greatest. Take care.
Take care.
Richard Schwartz, executive producer of Angry Angel on Freeform, Monday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time. Join us live from Los Angeles. And before we wrap up this half hour, let's give you our latest winner of our classic trivia question of the week. Yes, for the first time in 1 month, we have a winner. And that winner is Gertie Nelson from Cape May Courthouse, New Jersey. First time we have a New Jersey winner, by the way, in the couple of years we've had our classic trivia question of the week. The question that she answered was this. Name Denise Crosby's role on Star Trek, The Next Generation. Crosby was on the first season of the show, and the answer, Lieutenant Natasha or Tasha Yar. Lieutenant Natasha, Tasha Yar. That was the role Denise Crosby played on the first season of Star Trek, The Next Generation. And for that correct answer, Gertie Nelson is going to get in the next week or so the Genius DVD for the finale on National Geographic Channel. And she'll also get two wonderful books, The Showrunner by legendary executive producer Cy Tremack. It's an insider's guide to successful TV production. And Walking Distance, the look at dramatic episodes in TV history by Victor Kahn. And all that is on the way to you, Gertie. Thank you so much for playing. Keep listening to the show. And we will have a new classic trivia question of the week for you on Monday's episode. All you have to do, listen to the question, and then email me with the correct answer. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full name address, as Gertie did. And who knows, maybe next Friday you could be our next winner. Let's make it two in a row, shall we, and kick off December that way, because that's what our next Friday episode will be, first Friday, December 2017. Wow, time has flown fast. So again, we'll post the question on Monday, and again, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. We'll also post the question Tuesday morning on my Facebook page, and also at Twitter, at my handle, UBC Simon TWBT. That's it, UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so please do so, and all the very best when you do. This is Tomorrow We Televise with a promo about television. Remember, we come your way not only on Blog Talk Radio, but on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you want to check out this episode and others, just go to www.iHeartRadio.com and either put down Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click, you're right there, or go to Podcast and then the category Entertainment, and you'll find us. And by the way, if you'd like to respond at iHeartRadio to our program, we make it very simple. Go to the bottom of the page, go to the comment section, put the comment in there, I'll respond within 24 hours. That's www.iHeartRadio.com. I think you'll really enjoy hearing our episodes there. Don't forget, our podcasts are also available on iTunes.com, and if you have Apple TV, the iTunes podcast app. Apple TV makes a great, great gift. So if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple Store near you or order it online. And now, before we get to our final half hour, some wonderful words from the people at Audible.com. You know, like I said yesterday, this is the holiday season, and it's a great way to give two gifts in one, the gift of reading and the gift of learning through sound, listening through sound, I should say. And if you want something great to hear, I mentioned David Baldacci, the author of The Christmas Train, was on our show yesterday. His latest audiobook and novel is Endgame, and you can catch it free with a trial subscription to Audible.com. What you got to do for you or someone you love this holiday season is go to this URL and make it work, www.audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. Over 80,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, completely wherever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So remember, audibletrial.com/televised, you can get a free audiobook like David Baldacci's Endgame, narrated by Kip Brewer, or any book you like in any category. You get a wonderful one-month trial of the service and great customer service from the fine folks at Audible.com, which is owned by Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why listening is the new reading and why Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. Audible.com is a proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival. When we come back, we will go live to both New York and L.A., and we'll hear two of the co-stars of the new Amazon Studios series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is getting marvelous advanced reviews. We'll hear from co-star Michael Zagan here in New York and Maren Hinkle in L.A. when we come back after the top of the hour. But first, let's pause for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, one of the 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Juice Radio Show, Thanksgiving Edition. Catch it tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And we're available 24/7 as well on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, available at www.iHeartRadio.com. Welcome back to Marvelous Televised. Welcome to all of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New York, 51 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy pre-T-Day to you. We have another great half hour in store for you. A lot of fun so far today, and the fun is just going to continue. And you can be part of the fun by giving us a ring at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere to catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. The chat room is available too. Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And of course, while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on that Blog Talk screen. All the instructions other people can be live with you. My final two guests for this week are two people involved in a program that's already getting marvelous reviews. No wonder. It seems to be a marvelous program. It's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's the new series from the folks behind Gilmore Girls, Amy Sherman Palladino and Daniel Palladino. And it premieres 1 week from today on Amazon Prime Video and Amazon Studios, available through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Joining us live from New York and Los Angeles, respectively, first, the person that plays Mrs. Maisel's husband, Michael Zagan. Michael, happy holiday season to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
And the person from Los Angeles who plays Mrs. Maisel's mother, Maren Hinkle. Hi, Maren. Good Thanksgiving Day to you.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
And both the best of your families and friends and so forth. And Maren, we'll start with you. What's everybody excited about the series now that you have a season down the barrel?
I think it's a timely piece. I think that looking at women in comedy right now is something that we've all been seeing in the news for reasons that are delicate, but I think that taking a look at what Amy and Dan can bring to this subject is kind of rare and extraordinary.
Michael, Entertainment Week reviewed the show a couple days ago, gave it an A-, which is a very rare grade on their part, said, delightful, 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 loved all the performances, yours included. And it seemed that they really got the idea of the show, which is this is a dramedy about a person's coming of age through comedy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And it's I agree with Maren. It's very timely right now, and it's a great way to escape all the travesties that are going on in our world today.
Did you see that as well that way, Maren, when you got the role of being our characters? Well, we should point out, in case you don't know, that this is a show that takes place in the late 1950s here in New York City and stars Rachel Brosnahan from House of Cards as Miriam Midge Maisel, who decides to break and sort of a different way of life for her in the world of stand-up comedy. But when you got the role, I'm curious if you saw it the same way that Michael does, the way to break out of where we're at circa 2017 into what some may consider a more exciting, better time.
I think when I got the role, I was so overjoyed to work that I just basically celebrated that. And then when I actually got to work with the various people that they've put together, the cast and, of course, Amy and Dan, I was just so overjoyed that it was taking me to New York. It's basically a love letter in some ways to New York. It's such a celebration of that city. The designers are unbelievable. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see it, but there's a twinkle. There's a kind of, I've been listening to your show in the past hour. There's kind of this, there's actually like almost a celebration that's almost holiday-like of the piece. Amy and Dan add such great music to all that that they do that it's almost like a watching a musical extravaganza, the piece is.
Mm-hmm. And Michael, for you, playing sort of the opposite of the lead character as her husband, what was it like for you to get into that role and to get into the ambiance, which seems to be a real focus of the show, where it's not just a character study in terms of a character, it's a character study in terms of a city at a certain place and time?
Yeah, I've done some period pieces before. I did Boardwalk Empire, and the movie Brooklyn, and I don't know. I'm always drawn to that because it's so much fun. You just get to play, especially an Amazon series where they have access to a whole lot of money and they just throw it at you, and you walk onto a set and you're in the 1950s. So yeah, this is kind of a dream role.
Mm-hmm. Maren, where did you and the rest of the cast and crew shoot this? Where in New York City did you do it?
You know, we had sound stages in Brooklyn near the Navy Yard, but then what's extraordinary is it actually does take place on the Upper West Side. So they took old diners or little record stores, little treasured areas of the city, and they redesigned them, of course, and brought in the cars from the 50s and had, countless, probably tens, 20s, hundreds of extras. And so looking at the streets, it would travel you through time. It was really quite magical to see that they were doing that.
And I live in the West Village, and there were, a lot of it is set in the West Village. And there were literally days when I wasn't filming, but I would look out my window and see all the crew there and the actors. And so it was pretty special. I mean, it's not every day you get to, walk outside your front door and go to work. And, and it works right there. So it was pretty awesome.
Michael Ziegen and Maren Hinkle are two of the co-stars of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's the critically acclaimed new series from Amazon Studios and Amazon Prime Video that 1 week from today will premiere. And if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV connected device like Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, etc. that has Amazon Video, Prime Video, you can catch it where you are. Michael's joining us from here in New York. Maren's joining us from Los Angeles. Both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, who we do live from New York. Delighted you're with us this pre-Thanksgiving Day 2017. Hope you and yours are on your way to a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend. I'll say a few words for that before we close. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. Michael, one thing that happened with this show that a lot of actors don't get is that you have two seasons to perfect the character, perfect the show. This show came in with a two-season deal from Amazon. And I'm curious how that impacted the way the show was produced for both of you. And, Michael, with this one, I'll start with you.
As an actor, it's nice to have some job security. So it definitely relaxes you a little bit. but also it just shows the kind of confidence that they have in the program, that Amazon has in it. And that's, I think that's great. That builds a lot of confidence, and everybody's happy to be there. And we know that these roles are continuing. And I think it's it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Marilyn, what about for you? That you have 2 years to work on your character, 2 years to be involved in this scene, 2 years to have to really gel with your fellow co-actors and also with the crew.
You know, I agree with Michael. There's always this vulnerability that an actor has of the job security question. And when you're working on a series, even when it's been an incredibly successful one, like the ones he mentioned, Boardwalk Empire and such, and I had worked on a show that lasted for 12 years, Two and a Half Men, you know, what I'm not sure audiences know is that you get to the end of a season and you honestly don't know if you're going to be back the next year. And so there's this part of you that feels a little despairing as you approach it. And I think the writers also can't prepare for something even more extraordinary that they can reach towards within the following season. And this time we knew that we could get to a place and then deepen it again when we came back to work on it for the next season. And I loved that. I've never had that sense of relaxation and trust because there's always been the vulnerability of whether or not a show would get picked up. It was amazing. It was extraordinary that Amazon gave us that opportunity, and it's so rare.
Yeah. Part of perhaps why that opportunity came to this series is because of the Gilmore Girls miniseries that Amy and Daniel did that was on Amazon earlier this year and got tremendous reviews, but also because you have two people, I believe it's husband and wife team, that have given us, with Gilmore Girls and its long run on CW and the WB before that, and other things before that, and Amy had a background in comedy as well, which I think she brought a lot to Gilmore Girls, just a great track record in giving people not just characters, but an ambiance, an environment that was very distinct. I mean, you cannot tell Gilmore Girls is far different than Mizell in terms of, you know, plot structure, characterization, mood, setting, and so forth. What was it like for both of you, and Michael, start with you on this, to work with people like Amy and Daniel, who seem to be such master craftspeople at coming up, no matter what show they do, with a certain environment, certain mood, and really getting into that mood being, you know, the overall arch of what they're doing.
Me first, sorry?
Yeah. You got it, Michael.
Okay. I'll be honest. I never watched Gilmore Girls. So I had heard of Amy and Dan, but I knew their track record because I knew that Gilmore Girls was such a successful show with a cult following. But the more I talk to people, the more I feel like it's not a cult following, and I feel like everybody watched it except for me. Even not knowing anything about Gilmore Girls or their track record, I knew from reading the script, from the first script, you know, the pilot script, I knew that this was something special, and I knew it was something I wanted to be a part of. And just, you know, having known that it was them behind it only solidified that, just because I knew that they were people that I could trust. And that continued, you know, throughout filming. Like, they're just brilliant writers and brilliant leaders. And there's no, you know, animosity between anybody, especially them. They work together so well, and they don't argue. And, you know, they've been married for 20 years, and you'd think that you'd see some cracks. But no, they get along so well, and they're great. They're great leaders, and I trusted them throughout.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, what about you?
Oh, well, I have to say, I haven't worked with enough women in my 20-some years of being an actress, and Amy is one of the most extraordinary artists I've ever worked with. You know, I don't know if you know her background. I believe was as a dancer prior to her writing, and her dad was a stand-up comedian. Her mother is a dancer, and her mom is still alive and still dancing, I think. And I have to say that what happened that was amazing is I've done a lot of theater, as has Michael and as has the entire cast. Tony Shalhoub is in it. You've got Caroline Aaron. You've got Kevin Pollak. You've got the extraordinary Rachel Brosnahan and Michael Ziegen, who you're on with right now. And these people all are theatrical beings. And Amy and Dan have this history of bringing these wide master shots where they put the camera in a place and they let it all happen as if it's choreographed. And it's kind of like watching a theater piece. And then they have that rapid-fire dialogue, which is, you know, their trademark. And then these amazing little cultural, pop culture references that they use even in the 50s. So there's this deliciousness to watching them. And as Michael said, and your two other people you spoke to earlier, we're in a very troubled, complicated time. And to be able to enjoy and laugh, which I promise when you watch this, you're going to laugh. It's hilarious. And I think that it's an escape place, but it's also a place that you can reflect upon and sort of think about what's going on in the world. So Amy is a master at and Dan, at bringing something to light with humor. They're so funny as people, and they let these characters be so quirky.
Both of you have characters that play opposite a pair. In your case, Michael, you play opposite Rachel, who plays Mrs. Mm-hmm. Mizell, who play her husband. What do you look at in terms of crafting your character?
Actually Maisel.
What kind of husband do you want to be?
I just want to correct you. It's actually Maisel. It's not Mizell. I thought it was the same thing, but I just want you to know that it's the marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Maisel. Okay, got that from now on. So what was it like to like craft your character opposite hers? Because you are sort of, in a way, witnessing characters coming of age.
Yeah, you know, playing opposite Rachel is both amazing because she's the most wonderful person in the world and an amazing actress, but also, you know, it's hard because everybody loves her, and I feel like everybody's going to hate my character because, you know, he's, for all intents and purposes, the antagonist. Even though he's a good guy, he's just going through a tough time. He's kind of having a quarter-life crisis. He's stuck in a job that he hates, and they got married so early and had kids so early. So he's kind of in a downward spiral. But, yeah, it's hard because he's essentially the villain, and she's beloved. But hopefully as the season progresses, you get to know Joel a little bit better and maybe sympathize with him.
And now you play opposite Tony Shalhoub, who we all remember quite distinctly, super quite distinctly, I should say, from his Emmy Award-winning performance as Monk, which is one of the most quirkiest characters you ever saw on a television series, and a long-running one, created by Annie Beckman for USA. Watched it religiously, absolutely marvelous. Thrilled he won the Emmy Award, and it was a borderline performance. It was a performance that easily could have been caricature and could have been upsetting for a lot of people, but he really made it work. And now we see him in a whole different role opposite you, where he's playing our character's father.
Yes. I also want to make a correction of pronunciation. Actually, my name is so complicated, it's Marin, just for the books. But everybody, I'd say 99% of the people in the world mispronounce it, so don't even worry. But the other thing to say about, I have to just add something in, is that there's also an amazing performance that I've overlooked in speaking about. It's Alex Borstein. Everybody knows Alex probably from Family Guy, from her extraordinary relationship to Amy already and Dan on the Gilmore Girls. And she plays a club owner, like a manager in this piece. And even though my character doesn't get a chance to meet her, there's a couple of times I get the joy of having phone calls with her. And she is hilarious. So I kind of play opposite her in a way. She's kind of a nemesis of sorts to what my character is. But back to your question about playing against or opposite or with someone, my relationship is in the show is primarily, yes, with Tony's character, Tony Shalhoub, and also with Rachel's character as well. And what's kind of amazing is my character is someone with unbelievable judgment and unbelievable strong passions about what she believes in. And I love how it's going to spark a kind of controversy because she's kind of, in her own way, a nut, but she's very firm about what she thinks is right and wrong in the world. And I'm sure audiences will be angry at her for some of these beliefs, but it's kind of fun to play them with the idiosyncrasies that I get to have with the beautiful writing.
The program, once again, is the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Do we have it right now? I think we do.
You got it. Yes. You got it. And Amy and Dan, as Michael said, Amy and Dan were sure-footed about getting us to say it, you know, the right way. They're very precise. the two of them in knowing how language should be best spoken, and it's an amazing thing on set to find that precision with the way that they need their characters to think. They never want us to slow down.
And this adventure unfolds a week from today on Amazon Prime Video from Amazon Studios. And it's a 2-year commitment, by the way, for this series. Very, very rare off the bat for any series, no matter where it's presented. If you have a smart TV set or a smart TV connected device, you can catch Amazon Prime Video where you are. And we've got two of the key co-stars of that series, Michael Zagan and Marin. Do I have that now right? Or we?
I like that way, too. But it's actually Marin. But it doesn't matter. Think of Marvin, and then you can turn it around to Marin. That's one way to do it.
Okay, Marin, you got it. And Marin Hinkle, both are joining us live. Michael from New York, Marin from Los Angeles. There we go, right here on Tamavi Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. A few more minutes with our terrific twosome, and you can speak to them at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And don't forget, we're back on Monday after the holiday period with Dave Kaplan. He is the executive producer of Check In. It is the new Oprah Winfrey Network series about a very unique place where people reside and do a lot more than that, too. Dave Kaplan from Checked In, currently on the Oprah Winfrey Network. You'll meet him. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Much more as well as we go from November to December that week. Michael, where do you hope things go? And by the way, one thing I didn't ask you, I want to get into is, like, what do you think about the stand-up comedy scene that was portrayed in this series? Because we have another show that has done quite well, Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here, that Jim Carrey was involved with. You mentioned the Comedy Club owner. Melissa Leo, I believe, is that owner in that series. She does a great job in it. And it just seems that stand-up comedy clubs, or how they came to be, is a very hot topic in TV drama these days.
Yeah. What's not to like about stand-up comedy? I enjoy going to the clubs, and it's just, you know, a way to kind of forget about your worries, and hopefully they don't pick on you. But your question was, how does it, what was the question?
What do you think about the way stand-up comedy was portrayed? Did you, was it surprising to you? Did you find something that maybe you didn't know about the scene that, that's a very interesting thing I didn't know, or...
I've always kind of been fascinated with Lenny Bruce. I was always, I saw the Dustin Hoffman movie. I think Fosse directed it years ago, and I saw that when I was a kid for some reason, and I was just always kind of fascinated with him and how, you know, just the fact that he was censored and constantly arrested, it just like ruined his life. It's interesting to see the differences between, you know, stand-up during the 50s and stand-up now, where you were, you know, in the 50s you were clearly more restricted in what you could say. As far as our show is concerned, I mean, I think, you know, they're doing a great job with it. I love Midge's sets, and I got to do some too, which was kind of a bucket list thing. I've always kind of wanted to do stand up in my life, but it terrifies me. You know, it's the scariest thing in the world. That's why I'm an actor, so I can play characters as opposed to myself. Just doing it and being in front of an audience, even though I was acting, was terrifying. So, I was definitely thankful for the opportunity.
Hmm. And, Marin, before we go, your character playing a mother at that time, did you get any guidance from Amy and Daniel about how to do it, or did they sort of leave you to your will and say, okay, I'll come up with a way?
You know, that's a great question. I think so much of what happens in acting is the response to what you're being offered. And Rachel's attack at being sharp-tongued, amazingly literate, brilliant, crackling, unique, charming beyond belief, beautiful beyond belief, I basically got to just respond to that, and then you bring in Tony Shalhoub, and you bring in Michael Ziegler, and you bring in all the people I got to work with. I honestly feel like you set all those ingredients up, and it's kind of like a great chemistry set. It just kind of either explodes or implodes, and hopefully you'll find that it kind of explodes in the right way. So in answer to your question, I guess I used watching Amy on set as kind of a secret weapon, so to speak, so that I could take what she was giving. She's so flavorful, she's so passionate, and she's so brilliant and funny. So that would be my inspiration, and then everybody else around me.
Created, produced, and put together in New York by Amy Sherman-Palladino and Daniel Palladino, the folks behind the long-running Gilmore Girls and the Gilmore Girls miniseries that was on Amazon Studios earlier this year. It's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and it premieres a week from today, November 29th, on Amazon Prime Video. Chances are you have a smart TV set or a smart TV connected device, whether it's Roku, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and NVIDIA Shield. You can get Amazon Prime Video where you are. And for more details about the program online and other attractions on Amazon Studios and Prime Video, here's where you go: www.primevideo.com. That's www.primevideo.com. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is off and running with great advanced reviews from people like Entertainment Weekly. 1 week from today, November 29th. Michael Ziegler, Marin Hinkle, thank you both very, very much for spending your pre-Thanksgiving time with us. Congratulations on the advanced reviews. Good luck with the series,
thanks,
all of you and the rest of the cast and crew, Amy and Daniel as well.
Thank you.
And
thanks
all
for
you
having
a wonderful
us.
Thanksgiving season.
Thank you so much for
thank
having
you.
Us and enjoy the show.
Will do. All the greatest. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Now.
Hi, Michael and Marianne. Michael Ziegler and Marin Hinkle joining us live from New York and Los Angeles, respectively. Again, I want to thank not only our guests today, but I guess all Thanksgiving week long for being on the show these last 3 days. It's been a marvelous pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. And if you came in late on today's program or other episodes and you want to check all three of them out, go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also, go to iHeartRadio.com. Check out the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. All you have to do is go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Televised in the search bar, click it, you're there, or go to Podcast, and then click on Entertainment, and you're there as well. And you can comment as well at the bottom of the screen. Remember, we also come your way on iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app in podcast form. And if you don't have Apple TV, go to Apple Store near you or order it online. We love to hear you think about our programs this week and your thoughts about TV, where it's at and where it's going. So email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We always love to hear what you have to say. I do respond to your thoughts within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not for those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sodberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise, Blog Talk Radio, are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival and an Amazon company. Remember, in a time where listening is new reading, Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial, free audiobook, and more, go to audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. All of us at Blog Talk Radio and iHeartRadio wish you a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Please make it a great and safe one. If you're traveling along the way, take your time, take extra time. If you're traveling by air, check with your carrier beforehand and really make it a great one. And one more thing. Please take time during this weekend to acknowledge the people in your life, who you are for them and they are for you. I promise you, it will have this weekend be even more special. We are all back on Monday at our regular time with Dave Kaplan of the new own series, Check In, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, and along the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.